Headaches over Haaland as we fix up that forward line. And this week, we're joined by an England cricket legend. Hello, welcome back. The FPL Pod team are back with you on a Thursday. It's morning to Sam Bonfield, all the way from Dubai. How glitzy, Sam. Hello.
I know. Look at me out in the sunshine. Thanks for having me back all the way from Dubai.
Not jealous at all, are we, Julian and Ron? Both you and I in our respective parts of North London this rainy morning.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, everyone.
Hello. Now, you may notice I've done a slightly shorter intro today. That's because I'm really excited about this week's guest. We have been trying to pin him down ever since he was FPL Manager of the Month back in Game Week 37. I think it was back in 2018, but he's going to be worth the wait. It's England cricketer, but never mind that. He's also a huge Nottingham Forest fan and an FPL manager, Stuart Broad. Stuart, thank you so much for coming on. What a week to have you on when Forest pulled out that huge win last weekend.
I know, wasn't it incredible and so unexpected? It was, you know, it's, being a Nottingham boy, I love to see the City ground bouncing like that. And, you know, I just think I'm very biased, but I felt like we deserved that little bit of luck after, you know, the start of the season we've had, you know, by backing Steve Cooper. And, you know, we only need to finish 17th. That's all I keep saying every week.
I'm going to call you out a little bit here, because be honest, how did you watch that game last weekend? You've told us just before the record, and let's just hope your fiance doesn't listen to this pod, yeah?
I watched it remotely, would be the nice way of saying it. So Molly had a baby shower and it fell across. When she said, oh, it'd be at 12 o'clock, I was like, oh yeah, great. And then I looked at the fixtures and Forest were the early kickoff, 12:30, which, you know, it shouldn't have mattered. It doesn't matter. You know, my emotions didn't change. But I was checking the results on my phone very regularly, and my only wingman was my seven-year-old nephew, who's a huge Brentford fan, but huge football fan. So we were sneaking out, sort of like looking at the scores and trying to find the action, but then coming back into the room pretending that nothing had happened until the final whistle, where I sort of jumped up and was like, "Yes, can you believe it? Can you believe it? Forest have won! Forest have won!" And everyone was happy for me, but certainly reverted my mind back to the issue in hand, and that was celebrating the baby shower.
Priorities and all that, don't worry, you're talking to not me, but Sam and Jules both have children, and it's football over kids, right, guys?
Of course.
I mean, to be fair, I'd been doing that at my own baby shower if that was Spurs, so yeah, I get it totally.
Stuart, talk to us a little bit about this FPL obsession. When did it begin?
Probably, 2017-ish, I think. And actually, thank you very much for mentioning my game week win. And actually, it drives the lads mad on our leagues, because my team name is Game Week 37 Winner 2018. That's my team name.
I'll be honest, I didn't know that you were the FPL Manager of the Month all the way back then. I just spotted it in your team name. Sorry to admit that.
Yeah. So I sort of, you know, keep my friends up to date with my successes of the past. You know, it's always important to remember your strengths in the past, but not dwell on them. So I don't try and like, but every time a friend comes around for a cup of tea, I give them the mug, you know, that I got sent when I won, the purple Premier League winners mug, and it drives them mad. But it was, I'd say arguably, I mean, certainly top three sporting achievement I've ever been a part of.
And yes.
What happened that week? What made you win? Do you remember
Bench boost, Aubameyang captain, and he got 46 points. And it was just one of those weeks, you know, when you're checking, because everyone I speak to watches football differently once they get hooked on fantasy football. And all my midfielders scored, and then my defenders popped up with goals, and I was thinking, this looks good. And I woke up, and you know, in the top right, it says sort of highest around the country, and then it had mine. It said, well, I think it was like 169 or 168 points or something. I thought, cool, that's a lot. And then looked at my score and it said the same. And I just had that sort of 3 second moment of like, surely not, surely not.
it's like a goosebump moment, that is, Stuart. Like, oh, it's unbelievable. I would be
honestly
running around.
Honestly, and that was, I had training at Trent Bridge that morning in Nottingham, and that would probably woke up about 7 o'clock. And by 7:15, my phone was going mad. like people going, oh my God, have you seen, you'll never believe it, you'll never believe it. And that changing room, you know, I barely concentrated on the cricket. It was just conversations about, and honestly, you know, I've been fortunate to win Ashes series and I've never had more media requests for winning a game week. It was like, can you do this? Can you go on Sky Sports? Can you come on here? Can you come on the radio? I'm like, I've got to play cricket. Sorry, I can't. But yeah, I'd like to say that I'm professional enough to have, you know, learned from my experience and moved on. But I still live in that day all the time. And I don't know, it's sort of because now I've set the bar of winning a game week and now I think I can do it every week. And so I've sort of got that position that every week's a failure now. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like if my captain doesn't get 40 points, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why are you letting me down? Yeah, like a good sports person, I always blame the tools. So I blame the players if it doesn't go well.
I'm looking forward to seeing how your season's been going. And I get the feeling you could have some good tips for us as well. So let's reflect a little bit on the last game week. Sam, firstly, yourself and myself both played our wild card. This is quite painful for me. I don't really want to talk about mine. So I'll tell you what, you talk about yours first.
How many points did you get?
Come on, do you want to rip the Band-Aid off, Kelly? Rip the Band-Aid off. Go on, do it.
You know what, I actually don't know off the top of my head how many points I've got. Actually, in the end,
56.
I would say...
I'll tell you, 56. You've got 56 points.
I was saved
by
Kurt Zouma, which is something that I never thought I would say. I was actually working at West Ham versus Bournemouth, and I couldn't believe my luck when Kurt Zouma scored because he got 15
points. I'm sure Kelly wildcarded him in.
Right, so Stuart, it was obviously a big weekend last weekend for kind of social and family occasions, and it was one of my best friends, Hendu's, last weekend. I wouldn't ever normally take a Saturday off. I'm normally working, but I'm missing the wedding because I'm in Qatar, so I took the Saturday off for the Hendu at 10 a.m. I said, girls, you don't understand it, like they're not into football, but I kind of held my phone up and said, this is what I'm doing, I've got to pick 11 new players. And they were like, we'll help. Absolutely not. So I took myself away from the Hendu, finished my wild card, was really happy with it, posted it on my Instagram, a little bit kind of, oh, I've done quite well here. Don't get me wrong, I did my usual thing of sending a million WhatsApps to people asking for help. About 11:15, I looked in my Instagram DMs and someone replied to me and said, why on earth haven't you got Haaland as captain or vice captain? And my heart just sunk. And apologies to my friend if she's listening to this, but it ruined the rest of the Hendu for me because Salah was in the early kickoff. Your boy, Stuart, stopped him from getting anything. I knew he wasn't going to get anything. I was getting updates despite not watching. And then, of course, as soon as Haaland scores against Brighton or scores twice in the end, I knew that was a big game week rank killer. I went from 230 to 460 overnight in the world. But Kurt Zouma did get me back up to 230. But yeah, painful. Sam, I've got it out now.
Yeah, and it's the reason I hate captaining someone in the 12:30, Kelly, because even if something else goes brilliantly, like with your Zouma goal and clean sheet, it never quite makes up because you still look back and go, if only I'd captained somebody different. So yeah, it's part of the reason why I always talk about the 12:30 kickoff as a problem.
But Sam, imagine if you didn't even mean to captain him. Why did I ever captain
my Salah? I know, it's even worse. Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of people did though, Kelly, didn't they? There was a fair few captaincy armbands on Salah. I mean, my game week was so frustrating because it was one of those weeks where how does Zaha, Saka, Foden and Martinelli all blank? And my bench has got Andreas Pereira on it. It's got Nico Williams on it. And it's like, oh, this is so, so frustrating. But hey, it is one of those weeks where I look at my team now and think moving forward, they still look really nice for these last few weeks up until the World Cup.
Yeah, Nico Williams on the bench. Stuart, I took a look at your team and thought, I wonder if the Forest fan amongst us put Nico Williams in. Not only did you not put Nico Williams in, you didn't put in Dean Henderson either. You're shaking your head at me.
No.
I'm not quite over the decision yet. I've had a couple of poor decisions. I played a free hit last week and because I was going to Brighton away, the Forest game, Brighton away. I thought, you know, we've looked a little bit shaky defensively. I'm going to make a bit of a tweak. And of course, Dean Henderson played brilliantly, clean sheet. What did he get? 10 points. And then Liverpool at home, of course, I'm positive. And I was hoping to get some sort of result, but I didn't dream we'd keep a clean sheet. And I thought Danny Ward, more chance of keeping a clean sheet. And then my bench is an embarrassment this last week. It's Henderson, Nico Williams, Almiron on my bench, 10 points.
Oh, no.
And then I do what every manager does, and I count what I got on the bench and like add it into my team, and obviously could have been there.
Yeah, I did that.
I vow, especially after Dean Henderson's save in the last minute, I vowed that I am not going to leave him on the bench for the rest of the season. But I'd say for my first time ever in my fantasy football career, I've got the team I support in the Premier League. It's sort of messing with my head a little bit because I'm playing with my heart instead of my head. So I'm keeping Forest players in, certainly at the start of the year, but I've got three Forest players in at all times. I don't know whether that's massively sensible, but you know, I'm a football fan, I'm a Forest, huge Forest fan, and the thought of Forest having a great week and that allowing my fantasy football team to have a great week is like the ultimate peak. So I'm just going to keep the faith with that.
Jules, what about you? How was your game week as an Arsenal fan this year? You haven't been doing too badly, even if last week wasn't the best result for them.
I got 57 points, which is still more than you, Kelly, without playing my wild card.
Only 1 point. You made it absolutely.
It's okay. 1 point matters. But I relate with everything you said, and Stuart, especially because I've got 25 points on my bench, which drove me mad. I was away this weekend with the family in Valencia. So we were watching games and looking on the phones and everything. And I just could not believe that I brought Foden in like the rest of the whole world, it feels like.
Yeah,
and obviously,
so annoying,
just to see him benched. And then in the meantime, Trossard, Andreas and Fabianski all returned brilliantly and they're all on the bench. So it could have been much better, but I'd be happy with 57.
Yeah, my midfield was Salah, Foden, Saka, Martinelli. On paper, I was buzzing with that
wild card
midfield.
Yeah, you just copied on Salah anyway.
No, I didn't actually, because I didn't have Harry Kane.
I didn't have Salah. We had a swap of premiums.
So my midfield, including Salah captain, got 8 points. Andreas got more than that. Andreas Pereira got 10 points on my bench. Nico Williams also got 6. Anyway, should we move on from the disappointment that was the last game week and look ahead to this game week? One of the big disappointments for me in particular was Mo Salah. So going forward, we need to address once again what we do, because Jules, you told us, didn't you, that with Darwin Núñez on the pitch, it negatively affects Salah's position. I'll be honest, I had Núñez in my wild card. Then when we got those early whispers that maybe he wasn't going to be in the team, I thought, okay, I'll put Mo Salah in. I got rid of Núñez, brought Mo Salah in. But then he didn't perform at the weekend and now Núñez is back in the Champions League scoring again. Where does this leave us with Liverpool?
In a very interesting position, because Liverpool played with a new system again on Wednesday night away in Amsterdam against Ajax with Firmino as a number 10 in a free role that I think suits him really well. And then the front two of Salah and Darwin, which we'd seen the 4-4-2 before, but it was more of a flat 4-4-2, not with the diamond midfield. And I think going forward, this looks, certainly while Jota and Diaz are out, this looks like maybe that Klopp has finally found the right system that he wants, where you can maybe get Salah finally back to his best, even playing with Darwin, where you get Darwin in the box as much as you want, because that's where you want him, where you get a bit more balance in midfield because you've got the three, whether it's Henderson, Fabinho, Elliot, or you can bring Thiago Alcantara if you want, or Curtis Jones. I think this midfield three suits a lot of the Liverpool midfielders right now. And then you've got your back four behind that. So I would think at the weekend, there's no reason for them to change anything. And we saw Klopp making early substitutions because the game was won after 55 minutes anyway. So I would expect Salah and Núñez to both start up front with Firmino as a 10 in the game at the weekend, which I think would be very interesting, because then you could look at Salah in a very different way to what we've looked at him so far this season, in the sense that we saw against Ajax, and you know, Ajax are a really good team, even if they made mistakes on Wednesday night against Liverpool, that Núñez and Firmino and Salah could be that front three that fits well. And I think that also helps Mo Salah to go back to scoring and being a bit better in the league, because he's been really hot and cold, let's be honest. More cold than hot, by the way. So I think Wednesday was maybe I dare to say like a turning point, maybe, certainly tactically in Liverpool's season and for Mo Salah, I think, in the Premier League. So it could be the right time now to move him in if you don't already have him. And if you do have him, then to trust him and captain him.
Yeah, for me personally, it feels hard to get rid of him now, because Leeds at home, then Spurs and then Southampton as well. Stuart, I know you don't have any Liverpool players in your team. How long has that been a theme of your side?
Yeah, only a couple of weeks. I had Trent and Salah for the first block of the season, just out of faith, really. I they've been so good to me over the last few years that they're almost my bankers. But just got to that stage where I felt my friends in the leagues were getting further ahead of me by not having them, and that sounds a bit harsh, but they just weren't delivering the points for the cost to make it worthwhile of the risk. And I held on probably for 2 or 3 weeks longer than I could have done, because I was thinking, this is going to, they're going to come good. They're too good not to to break through. But then I decided to get De Bruyne in instead of Salah and actually store a bit of money up by selling Trent and making a bit of a maneuver. Because where I've struggled this year, obviously Haaland's a bit of a, you got to have it. But the strikers outside of him, unless you go huge money again and get Kane, I've that's where I've really struggled to find someone of consistency alongside Haaland. So I've had Jesus all year, but you know, I do like to play those three strikers because I love to celebrate that. I love that feeling when a new striker scores, you know, and you're like looking out for that. It's just a, it's a nicer feeling than a clean sheet, isn't it? It's just like more rewarding. So I, in the last couple of weeks, I've settled on Tony, and actually currently as it stands, have him as, this could be a terrible error, but I have him as captain. I have him as captain this week because they've got Wolves at home. They got thrashed. Brentford got thrashed at the weekend. They're going to bounce back because that's generally how sport works. You know, that was a bit of an embarrassment. They're going to be so motivated. I want Wolves to get dragged into the relegation battle with Forest. So I want Wolves to get beaten.
It's not this one through.
Yeah, Tony's trying to get on that plane to the World Cup. So he's going to be like uber motivated to take chances and score. But how do you look past Haaland? Although they're away at Leicester, it's one of those swings in the game week that suddenly Tony could get a hat trick and it takes me, you know, further away. But the probability of Haaland scoring is so high. I'm weighing it up, and that, you know, that we all know that decision is going to be made 15 minutes before deadline. So there's no point even discussing it now. But yeah, that I sold Trent to try and grab a little bit more money for in the forward line.
Okay, we're going to have a bit more forward chat and captaincy chat in just a moment. But Sam, before we move on from Liverpool, if managers are thinking of getting rid of Salah, what would you say to them?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I think for me, I did exactly what you did, Kelly. And when we heard those early whisperings that Nunez wasn't going to quite make it, I took him out and put Jesus in. Having watched him in the Champions League, I'm now thinking, oh, I'd really quite like to have you back for this game against Leeds at the weekend. But equally, Jesus and Arsenal have really nice fixtures, so I'm probably going to stick. I think with Salah, if you own him, you probably stick for the game against Leeds at the weekend. If he doesn't do anything in that one, then ahead of the trip to Spurs, maybe that's when you look to sell. But, you know, Stuart earlier mentioned Almiron, and I think he'd be the one that I would go down to. You know, he's got back-to-back 10-pointers and he's returned in four of his last five matches in the Premier League. And he's playing in a team that are brimming with confidence, just got up inside the top four. Newcastle look like they have everything going for them this season, with fixtures against Villa, Southampton and Chelsea up before the World Cup. I think there's more goals and more points for Almiron. He's just got that confidence about him, and he's kind of taking the shots that last season maybe he would have thought twice about, or maybe just wouldn't have had the confidence to finish off in the way that he does right now.
Sam, can I ask a question on that? You mentioned Almiron. I've got him in my side, and he's had four or five brilliant game weeks. Do you think, having played this game for a long time, there's generally a lifespan of those type of players, of like a 6-7 weeker? Because, you know, if they did it season in, season out for every game, they'd be 12-13 million. Do you generally see a rhythm of the right time to use and then sort of move on, sell at a bit of a premium price and go again? Or do you just back them until they fail for 3 weeks and have a change?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the things you have to be good at as an FPL manager is getting on the bandwagon at the right moment and then knowing when's the time to jump off. But I think for me, with Almiron at the moment, it doesn't feel like now is the time to get off because of the way that Newcastle as a unit are playing. It's not like he's in great form, but everyone else is doing terribly. He's in great form, playing for a team in great form. And with a player like Callum Wilson just returning from injury, he's now got kind of this great striking partner up there alongside him. So I think for me now is the time to stick on. But there are other players who, you know, go through really patchy periods and we see really great form and then it just tails off into nothing. And you have to kind of know when that tailing off is happening. And it tends to be when the team start playing badly that I notice that players then drop off. With Almiron, I think you're safe for a few weeks yet.
So don't bench him, Stuart, is what Sam's saying. Now, in the interest of balance across the Midlands, if we're going to talk about how well Nottingham Forest did with Stuart on the podcast, we do also need to mention Aston Villa. Wow, what a no manager bounce they had. 3-0 up within 14 minutes. Jules, what do we now expect under their new manager, Unai Emery?
No one knows. I mean, Unai hasn't started yet. I just find it incredible. I find them incredible. The cliche in football says, oh, you know, maybe they stopped playing for the manager before, which I don't think is true, really. But that start, the beginning of the start of that game against Brentford was just incredible. Leon Bailey, who we all started the season with because we
Sam loved him.
Exactly. This is what we wanted from him, but earlier on, not after 12 weeks or whatever, 12 game weeks.
He was one to get off and get back on again, Jules. Yeah, like he's what Stuart was talking about. He was a player that we expected to do well. You had to know when to get off of him. And now maybe, is it the moment to get back on? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But I think overall, even if Emery is not going to be on the bench for this game, I think he's a fantastic appointment. I think he's a really, really good coach. Didn't always work out for him before in bigger clubs, maybe. But I think he's perfectly suited to a club like Aston Villa. I think he's got a really good squad. And in terms of structure and what he can bring to this team and how it's all about, you know, like precision with him tactically and in everything, I think he would bring a lot to that dressing room and that squad. I would think that they would adapt to him quickly. But even if he's not there on the bench this week, I think the momentum from that Brentford win going into this weekend and the buzz that there will be around the appointment of Emery and this new chapter starting for the club, I think it'll be very interesting if you have an Ings or again Bailey or even the defenders, Emi Martinez, all of that. I think to count on them for sure. And then if you're looking for a differential, maybe then go into Aston Villa players.
Yeah, it would be quite nice from an FPL point of view, wouldn't it, Sam, if all of a sudden Ollie Watkins and Danny Ings could find some form, because they're the kind of players that in FPL at their price points would be really nice second or third forwards.
Absolutely, yeah. And when you think, you know, at the weekend under the caretaker manager, they played a kind of 4-2-3-1 formation. And that's something that was so successful in that game. And I don't think any of us were necessarily expecting Villa to play as well as they did. And that's a system that we have seen Emery use before. So I suspect that actually that might be something that he can come in and make work at Villa. And if he does, then having those two up top, one forward often in Unai Emery's teams likes to drop a little bit deeper in order to link up the play, while the other one then gets in behind. That could be the perfect style of play for Danny Ings and Ollie Watkins, because since Ings arrived at Villa, we've not seen that pairing work particularly well. They've always been better when the other one hasn't been on the pitch. So I think we might be, and sadly, we've only got 3 weeks up until the World Cup, so it might take a little bit longer than the three games we have for us to really see the best of the partnership between Ings and Watkins. But it's definitely something that I've got my eye on, because over that World Cup period, you can bet that Unai Emery is going to spend the time he's got with his players that don't travel to the World Cup working on exactly what he wants that Villa team to look like. And coming back out of the World Cup, they could be perfect investments. So they're one I'm definitely watching for the next 3 weeks.
Well, this leads us on very nicely to forwards. And there's only one place to start this conversation. Erling Haaland came off in the Champions League game against Borussia Dortmund. These were Pep's quotes on him, which do not read very well at all. Three things. I saw him so tired. The second one, he had a little bit of influenza in his body, like João Cancelo. João played with a fever. The third, he had a knock in his feet. That is why he was not able to play in the second half. However, he then went on to say, I don't know right now about the severity of the injury. I spoke with the medical team at halftime. They were a little bit concerned, but I saw him walking more or less quite good at the end. We will see what happens. Going back to your captaincy point, Stuart, this throws a whole nother aspect into the conversation, doesn't it? Is he going to be fit?
Well, just through cricket change rooms, I know if you do have colds and the flu, the physios don't like you exerting yourself because the chance of you tearing a muscle goes through the roof. So that would lean me to think if he's not been very well, why would you take the risk on your star man against a team? We know Leicester have got like amazing quality, but they have been conceding and struggling. Why not give the Alvarez a chance with a Premier League start? That would probably lean me towards captaining someone else. And even maybe I might move my vice captain to De Bruyne or someone just in case he starts on the bench and Haaland just gets 20 minutes at the end. Or actually, Pep just says, you've been incredible for us. You've pretty much played every game or had a part in every game all season. Have a week off and turn up at training next week, 100%. You know, if it depends how ill he's been, but certainly traveling to Champions League games and stuff on flights, it's harder to recover. I could see a few people getting a shock on that Leicester game of Haaland not even being in the squad.
high-level sporting medical advice there, which was probably not what we all wanted to hear. Sam, what do we do from an FPL point of view? Because so many of us will have so much money tied up in him as well.
For sure. And like, I'm pretty sure most FPL managers and Man City fans alike, I spent some of my day yesterday looking at the pictures of the Man City players in what looked like a little health spa that they were at, kind of having their post-match massages and stuff. And there was pictures of Joao Cancelo, who I also own, and Haaland, both there with the team. So I'm hoping that means that the influenza part isn't too bad, because surely if it was, he wouldn't be mixing them with the rest of his squad. I would suspect that if they were, you know, ill with the flu, they might be kept separate, which they weren't in those pictures anyway. So I think if you've got Haaland, and let's be honest, like most of the game have Haaland, you're not going to sell him because you've, like you say, Kelly, got the money tied up in him. So you just keep him. I think the question mark comes as to whether you give him the captain's armband or not, because, you know, even if he does miss this one, he's going to be back for game week 15. And then you're going to want him for that game against Fulham and the final game before the World Cup against Brentford. So I think you hold. I think you debate with yourself and you wait for Pep's comments on Friday in his press conference to see whether you're going to risk the captaincy on Haaland, because it is a nice fixture and I would expect him to do well if he plays against Leicester. But if there's any doubt about him starting, then maybe the educated gamble as an FPL manager is to hand the armband to somebody different this weekend.
Looks like Stuart's already ahead of the curve, doesn't it, with his Ivan Toney shout?
Yeah, it does.
Jules, this is also why we have a strong bench as well, isn't it? Like for me, I've set my team up already this week. Andreas Pereira, despite getting double digits last week, is going to be my first sub. And I don't mind too much if he comes in for Haaland. What's your front three looking like at the moment? And I guess it kind of opens the conversation of what is the best front three at this moment in time with three game weeks to go until the World Cup?
Yeah, no, you're right. I've got Haaland and Kane like since day one, really. And then I had Dominic Solanke. We mentioned him, I think, last week or the week before on the show.
Another injury. He got an injury.
You're selling him now, Jules, right?
Yeah, another injury doubt. And I was a bit disappointed by what he brought, to be fair, after we praised him so much. So I made a transfer already, and Callum Wilson has come in.
Good transfer.
Yeah, I agree with what Sam said earlier. And the way Newcastle have been playing, and they're home this weekend too, against Villa. So I thought this was a good time to bring Callum Wilson in, and at least for the next two games, because they're good fixtures for Newcastle. So I think I will bench Haaland. I don't think he will start that game. I don't think he will play that game. I think he needs a rest.
So you're going to bench him from the off. What happens though? Will that not be a bit painful if Pep does what Pep so often does and springs a surprise on us?
This is not Pep roulette,
though.
I think Stuart is right in the sense that he's played almost every minute. He came off, remember, against Copenhagen at halftime in the Champions League, which was already planned, but he's played so much already. And I just don't think that City need to play him for that game. If it was a tougher team, a tougher opponent, I think maybe then they will take the risk. Now there's no need risking him. And on the back of that, next week, there's also Champions League where they already qualified, they're already through, they're already top of their group. So again, you can give him another rest. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think he will start.
Jules, would you not rather play him though? Just because if he comes on for half an hour at the end of that game, I would rather have Haaland for half an hour than I would some of my players for the whole 90 minutes in this one. So I totally agree with the captaincy thing. Like, I think not captaining him this week, maybe depending on what Pep says at the weekend, makes a lot of sense. But part of me thinks if Haaland gets any, if he doesn't play at all, then I'm happy for Pereira to come off my bench. But if he's going to get half an hour, then I'll take Haaland for half an hour, because we've seen over the last few weeks that Haaland in half an hour, Haaland in 20 minutes can return you three goals.
Yeah, no, it's a good point as well. It will depend, and that's why there's nothing we can do, but it will depend a lot on how the game goes. If City are 3-0 up at half time, he's not going to get any game time. There's no need to risk him, especially if he's not 100% or fully fit. If you're 0-0 with 20 minutes to go, 25 minutes to go, then I agree with you. And he's on your bench. You bring him on and hope that he makes the difference and score the winner and everything else. So this is what we can't control, really. But I do think that they will be very careful with him, and they should, because if he's not fully fit, and considering the game time that he's already had, you don't want him to get more injured or take any risk or anything like that. So it's a really tricky one. I think this is the first time, really. We thought before Pep had some dubious comments, if you remember, about Haaland not being able to play every 3 days, blah, blah, blah. But he still kept him in the team. But this is the first time, really, where there's a proper dilemma, whether you keep him or you start him or you bench him or you captain him or you don't. I think this is the biggest dilemma we had over Haaland so far this season.
why couldn't this have happened last week when I forgot to captain him and then he scored twice? That would have been far better. I was all primed and ready to captain him this week. And now I'm thinking probably it's best not to. Stuart, who's your front three at the moment? You've mentioned you've got Ivan Toney, I presume Erling Haaland. Well, you have, because you mentioned potentially captaining him. Who's your third forward?
It's Gabriel Jesus, and they're playing Forest, which is a bit devastating. Ooh. But he's been someone who, at the start of the season, he's pre-season, he was incredible, wasn't he? He started with Arsenal amazingly. He had such a good record at City, going to Arteta at Arsenal, knowing Arteta from City. I just felt like he was going to settle in pretty quickly there. And he's just one of those players that I really like. I like watching him, and that's why I like having him in my team. So he's been my number three. I must admit, when Jules said Callum Wilson is someone that is, you know, you feel tempted to lean towards, because he's a great goal scorer, and a really interesting point Sam made earlier about back the teams that are playing well, and Newcastle really do look a danger. But no, they've been pretty good to me, those three, through the season. It's more my midfield that I've struggled with a little bit. Like Madison was incredible against Forest when they beat us 4-0. So I didn't have him. I put him in, and the next game he gets a yellow and then gets banned. You know,
I had that problem too. Yeah, I did that.
So it's like then misses a week. So I think it's my midfield that have probably caused me the most issues. I mean, I've backing through my heart, really. I've got Morgan Gibbs-White, just because I think he's a fantastic player. Was at the semi-final playoff last year when he played for Sheffield United against us. And I was just delighted when we signed him. He's got an amazing cross and free kick and takes corners. So I've backed him all season. He's not quite come good for me yet. So he's going to be on the bench against Arsenal this week. But I've just got a feeling at some stage he's going to repay the faith in me. But that's one of my signings that's probably more through my Forest heart rather than my fantasy football head.
Just a warning for you. You talked about Callum Wilson. Ivan Toney and Gabriel Jesus are both one yellow card away from suspension. So I guess you've kind of already got that transfer lined up if you need to make it.
Yeah, I don't want to jump before I'm pushed on that front, I think. You know, it's I am in that position that if one of them gets a yellow this week, I'll make the change next week. And then we've only got, what is it, 3 game weeks until the World Cup, and then it's all changed. So it's a bit of a short-term mindset for the moment.
Yeah, it's quite nice that we can do that for once in FPL, isn't it? Like, normally we have to look so far into the future. Sam, very quickly before we move on, who's your front three at the moment, or who do you think should be the front three of choice? Technically, you should have the front three of choice because you only wildcarded last week.
Yes, I should, shouldn't I, Kelly? I mean, I've got Kane and Haaland up top, and I wouldn't change either of those. And then alongside them, I've got Jesus. So I've got a lot of money invested in my front line. I have got the money in the bank for Jesus to be Nunez, because I did really want him ahead of that Forest game. And I still would like to own him for the Leeds game, but I'm not taking out Jesus ahead of game week 14. If he gets booked in the next couple of weeks, then I think I'll follow Jules, actually, and move for Callum Wilson. I really like what Eddie Howe is doing at Newcastle. I think that they are going places this season. They've made it into the top four now. They will want to stay there for the rest of this season. In these next 3 game weeks, they've got the fixtures to kind of consolidate their spot in the top four. So I really like him. Mitrovic also should get a shout out in the top 3 forwards category, because he has been phenomenal so far this season. He's brought that championship form up into the Premier League. He's reliable. You know, everything about Mitrovic has been great. Even his price point is still really nice. So I still think heavy in the forward line is a good idea with Haaland and Kane. And then you just pick one of those other guys that we've talked about, and they all look like nice options.
Well, the other exciting part of that only being 3 game weeks to go until the World Cup, as Stuart said, is that we can just target players that just have 3 nice fixtures. So this could be a really good time to pick out some differentials. A reminder, a differential is a player found in less than 10% of overall FPL teams. I set the guys some homework and asked them to each pick one player per position. So Sam is going to pick our goalkeeper. I've specifically said Sam has to do goalkeeper because she always goes on about how boring goalkeeper changes are.
I hate a goalkeeper change, Kelly, as you know. I think goalkeeper changes are perfect for, you know, if you are wildcarding, then of course you go for it. As a normal transfer, I'm not a big fan of changing my goalkeeper, but at this stage, with three game weeks to go, you might find that you've actually got a team that you're really happy with, and therefore a goalkeeper change is a good one. So I went and had a look at the best fixtures across the fixture ticker to see who was up there. And I still really like Jordan Pickford. He's owned by 5.3% of the game. He's obviously still got to secure his position as England's number one for the World Cup, because Nick Pope at Newcastle is doing a cracking job of trying to take that spot from him. So I think there's an element of kind of desire for Pickford at the moment. Plus, the fixtures are nice. So they've got Fulham in 14, followed by Leicester and Bournemouth. Now, none of those teams, with the exception of Mitrovic maybe at Fulham, are that free scoring. So I think there's the potential there for some clean sheets. And with Pickford, there's always potential for save points. He's picked up a lot of them so far this season. So those extra 1 or 2 points here or there can make a massive difference to your overall rank at the end of a game week. So yeah, Jordan Pickford, I think, for me.
Okay, I like that one. Defenders, Julian Laurent, who have you got for us?
So I went for another Everton player in Conor Coady. I know, because we mentioned Everton before, and defensively, they're the fifth best defence in the league. They've got good fixtures coming up, as Sam said. And Coady is a threat on set pieces. He's had some good return this season. I think he's got 4 in his last 6 or 7, something like that. So really good. And I just like the way they've been playing now. They had a difficult start of the season, of course, but now it's a little bit better. And I think he's definitely a player to keep an eye on.
Midfielder, Stuart, you can do this position.
Well, thank you. to the listeners, I would probably suggest listen to the experts of Jules and Sam, to be honest. But
game week 37 winner back in 2018.
Yeah.
Hey, you've got more pedigree than us, to be fair. You've won some.
I don't have the mug.
This might sound a strange one, but I've gone with James Ward-Prowse. He's only owned by 5.7% of managers out there. And he's not been free scoring points-wise since the start of the season. And their fixture list isn't fantastic. So this isn't a great sell so far. But why I like it is he's obviously got an incredible free kick. And even if Southampton lose, like they did at the start of the season against Spurs 4-1, he still picked up 9 points. So he's someone who I know we like to focus on the teams that are doing really well, but I think he's someone who can pick up really good points just by his quality of set pieces, even if they are playing Liverpool away or Newcastle. So he's someone who not many people fancy too often, but he can pick up random points that can just be a slight differential.
Yeah, 6.3 million he's priced at the moment. Crystal Palace and Newcastle in his next two. Then he does have a trickier game against Liverpool in game week 16, but you could just bench him in that week potentially. Or as you've seen, Stuart, doesn't matter. You can beat Liverpool these days.
You can beat Liverpool and he can ping in a free kick from 25 yards.
Forwards, Sam, because there's only 3 guests, 4 positions, you're the expert. You can pick a forward as well.
Well, Jules will like this one because it's his transfer in this week. And yes, it's Callum Wilson.
Sam, I bet that hurt you when he said that he put him in and you thought, oh no, I'm going to say that that's a good move.
I know, right? So he says at the beginning, oh, I've brought in Callum Wilson, and I'm thinking, oh, he's the forward that I've got in the differentials and he'll be loving that. owned by just 2.3%. Obviously now also by Julien Laurent. Yep. He's returned in 3 of his last 5. The team is in fantastic form. The fixtures are great up until the World Cup. He's got a good route to points, penalties, etc. as well. So I love Callum Wilson at the moment. And obviously that pains me a little bit as a Spurs fan, because having watched him play against Spurs in game week 13, I was so impressed by Newcastle in that match. I thought they did everything right. And if you can come to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and perform in the way that Newcastle did, they will go other places in the next few weeks and perform just as well. So yeah, Callum Wilson is in the forward line.
I considered him on my wild card, but Sam, maybe I speak to you too much. It was that fixture against Spurs last weekend that put me off. So
yeah,
I found it quite painful watching that as well. okay, before we move on to transfers and captains, this week the festive fixtures were released. The Premier League returns after the international break for the World Cup. It returns at 12:30 on Boxing Day, meaning it'll be 11 a.m. deadline. That's game week 17. Then we have game weeks 18 and 19, which ends on the 5th of January before the FA Cup weekend break. Just a quick word on this, Sam. Why is it now important for us to kind of just look ahead and mark these fixtures and these dates in our calendars?
Well, it's always really congested around Christmas. It actually isn't as bad this year because of the World Cup. We do have a lot of FPL deadlines and they do come thick and fast. So you will have to just be aware. So like you say, game week 17, it finishes on Wednesday. The game week 18 deadline is on the Friday. So in that kind of Christmas post-Christmas, pre-New Year period, you're going to have to be on your toes really thinking about the deadlines. And then, like you say, we've got the FA Cup, so we've got some time to think before we get into game week 20. This year, unlike other years, there are no teams with less than 2 full days of rest between matches. So that's kind of nice. It means we don't need to necessarily worry too much about the number of days between matches. But there are some teams, like, for example, Spurs, they play Brentford in game week 17. And then there's 5 days before they play Villa again in game week 18. Now, you never really get that. So you can kind of target in on those teams that have big breaks. And we also should remember that although we haven't necessarily got the congested fixture period over Christmas, some of these players will have just played a month's worth of football at the World Cup if they get all the way to the final. So we just need to be aware of this. We can look at the fixtures, and there are already some great content creators who have put together spreadsheets of dates and times between matches that we can kind of have a look at. The likes of Spurs and Liverpool with the big gaps between matches, let's have a look at those and really start planning for what your team might look like so that you can take advantage of the unlimited transfer window when it opens after game week 16.
Lots to think about. It feels like there's plenty that's going to happen by then, but that's a really interesting point, isn't it, Jules, of keeping tabs on those players that won't have just played in the World Cup, because there's some big names that won't be going out to Qatar.
Yeah, massively, of course. Erling Haaland and Mo Salah and Martin Odegaard, plenty others as well. And let's not forget, you've got all those free transfers during the competition. So take your time. You know, you have a look at who plays well during the World Cup, who plays a lot, who doesn't, who's getting knocked early. Not the French, but the others. And, you know, and then see where you are when the World Cup is over and you get ready for your team again. So it'd be fascinating. And I do think that the way you will manage your team during the festive period will be very important as well. And this also be a differential on you know, be quite clever in how you manage your team.
I also feel like over that time, it's kind of survival of the fittest as well, isn't it? Those people that can keep across every press conference, every game, every deadline. You have to be so across it, so in it.
Exactly. You know, Jules is watching every game, don't you, Kelly?
Yeah.
We're going to have to be properly on it.
Yeah. And I'm teetotal as well. So, you know, that helps, I think, in the festive period. So.
And we also know that no matter what Stuart's doing, he'll be keeping an eye on all the football as well. We've seen evidence of that last weekend.
Well, actually, February, I'm in New Zealand, which causes causes the most difficult watching of deadlines ever because of the jet lag and different time differences. So I've certainly fallen foul in New Zealand before, in Australia, where I've missed deadlines and you get on the team bus and they're like, did you do the deadline? You're like, oh no. But you know, I'm just logging it in my brain now, so it's so when I get there I'll be switched on.
Is that a thing? Do a lot of your teammates play FPL? And name some names, tell us who's good or who's bad.
Yeah, virtually everyone in the England side. We've got an England cricket league, and I think actually proves that fantasy football's not, you know, down to luck, and it is actually down to judgment, because our now former but still in the league team analyst wins the league every year. And he is our stats man. So whether he just does more research than everyone else, but yeah, he's top of the league, and actually this year he's again top of the league. But I only ever judge myself against Jimmy Anderson. We're just constantly having weekly battles. It's a topic of conversation without doubt every week.
Okay, in the interest of fairness, we're now going to have to try and get Jimmy Anderson on this podcast as well, I think, aren't we?
While in New Zealand, though, Kelly. Let's get him on while they're in New Zealand.
Let's get them on together.
Yeah.
And actually, let me, as the league stands, I think I'm doing well against him. So, yeah, the earlier the better for me. He's losing to me. So, yeah, I'm 8th in our England league and he's currently 18th out of 24.
Ooh, smashing him, Stuart.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's tight. You know, there's only 40 points really in it. Yeah, the top 10 are only split by 30 points. So it's a good league.
Oh, they're the kind of leagues that you love to be in, with people that you see and spend so much time with. And when it's that tight, so you know that a big captain hall, see Ivan Toney captain hall, for example,
there you go.
Could open up a massive,
huge,
a massive there you go. Gap.
Yeah. It either takes me into the top three or bumps me out the top 10.
I quite like that though. That's kind of playing with quite an aggressive approach. I wish I could be a bit more like that personally as an FPL manager. So we know that Stuart is going to go for Ivan Toney. Jules, you're going to bench Erling Haaland. Who's your armband going to go to?
Either Kane or Wilson. I mean, Callum Wilson being at home and Kane away at Bournemouth, although I think Spurs, they need something after what happened in midweek in the Champions League as well. And obviously last weekend against Newcastle. So I think they could go for this game like in a different mindset. And Kane then would be a good captain. but I really fancy Callum Wilson for this weekend. So I haven't made my mind up yet, but it leans towards Callum Wilson at the moment.
And you've already done that as your one transfer for this week,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Okay, Sam, what about you, captain and transfer? Have you made a transfer, or are you going to hold one because you wildcarded last week?
I have not yet made a transfer, and I'm probably going to roll through. I really like my team. Like, it was set up for this week as well. Obviously, I've got the Haaland injury, but I'm not taking him out, and because I'm going to want him straight back in, and I've got too much value invested in him. So I have the straight choice, I think, between captaining one of my three, yes, Jules, that's right, three Arsenal attackers that I am now invested in. So I've got Jesus, I've got Martinelli, and I've got Saka. So any of them are captainable, I think, this weekend. And then I've got my main man, Harry Kane, who, of course, I could hand the armband to. He's going to be raging, isn't he, about that last-minute goal by VAR in the Champions League. He's going to want revenge. He's going to want to go to Bournemouth, who he's got a great record against, and return me a hatful of FPL points. He's going to be thinking that's his priority, isn't it, to bring Sam some FPL points when she's captained him. It's one of them. It's probably going to be Kane, because obviously while I'm in Dubai, I can watch the 3 o'clocks in Dubai as well. So I'm going to go and find myself somewhere to watch the 3 o'clock football and watch Harry Kane score me a hatful against Bournemouth.
Can I just ask your expert opinion? So I've got Haaland, and he's, let's say, doubtful, and I have got two transfers saved up. Would it make sense for me to maybe bring Kane in just for this week, because he's guaranteed to play, and then just transfer Haaland back in for next week?
Well, part of the problem is going to be, Stuart, how long you've owned Haaland for, because if you've owned him for a long time, then you're going to have a lot of value invested in him, which is meaning if you sell him earlier, obviously it's going to cost you more money to get him back. So you just need to make sure that you have the budget in the bank to bring him back in again. And a lot of FPL managers probably won't have that. So for me, if there's any risk that you couldn't bring Haaland back in again, I would absolutely just be benching him this week, or letting him go off onto the bench if he doesn't come on. And because, you know, your team sounds great anyway, you've got other captaincy options. So I don't think it's as dire as you need to take him out to find a captain.
Okay.
Brilliant. Well, hopefully Stuart's got some advice from this podcast as much as we've got advice for him. Thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on your imminent arrival. I've also, when you were mentioning the time zone of being in New Zealand and stuff and how that's going to affect you making transfers and getting your team sorted, don't be using this baby as an excuse to miss deadlines as well.
Don't worry, I won't.
There'll be lots of midnight tinkering and transfers going on.
Exactly. Yeah, during those night feeds when you're helping Molly out.
Plenty of time on your
hands. Yeah, in fact, you can have more time.
I'm actually worried the tiredness will like lose my focus, and I'll start making more and more changes because I'll just be delirious, you know.
Well, the best of luck with it all, and thank you so much for coming on. When I say the best of luck, I obviously mean with FPR, not with the baby. Joking. With both of it, the very best of luck. Thank you for coming on, Jules. And Sam, as always, good luck this week as well. Sam, enjoy the rest of your holiday. What's the time zone and the time difference out there? Are you going to have to kind of make changes, get your team ready in the middle of the night, or is it not too bad?
No, we're all right. We're 3 hours ahead out here. So at least in those 3 hours ahead, I won't miss a deadline because I'll set it up before we go out for brunch that day. And then when I get to sit and watch Spurs, my team will be sorted and we'll be all good.
Jules, you had a holiday last weekend, so tell me you're going back to work this weekend. We can't have the FPL pod constantly on holiday.
No. Arsenal this week and Spurs next week, I think it is for me.
Yeah, I'm back to work this weekend as well. Do not forget the deadline this week, 11 a.m. Saturday. Don't do what I did. Make sure you check your captaincy, especially this week with the doubts over Erling Haaland. And don't forget as well, Off the Bench will be back on Tuesday before we return on Thursday. See you then. Bye-bye.